Are you ready?
Here we go.
Test 1, 2.
I feel like I'm bouncing from cloud to cloud.
Wow, we're ridiculous.
So stay tuned.
I like what we're doing.
Or don't.
Oh, that might be my favorite thing to ever happen.
Is this not the coolest thing you've ever heard?
Well, how about this?
Yes. Hold up.
It's the Pepper and Dylan After Show Show Podcast.
Welcome to the After Show Show, the return of the After Show Show. It's been a while. It's June 15th. Thanks for joining us.
So let's walk you through the pest. We did the math. I can't remember if it's accurate or not, but until this week, so not including this week, we were on holidays last week. And I believe that considering the citywide 50-50 promotion that we did in May, your bout with COVID, Robbie. My bout with what everybody's telling me I had COVID.
Right.
Dylan, your bout with COVID.
Yeah.
And the ensuing pneumonia.
Yes.
And long COVID that you suffered through.
And then our secondary sickness.
What
did you guys end up getting when I was gone?
It was just like a very bad...
It felt like pneumonia, right? Like it was like a really bad... Yeah.
Like the symptoms were worse than I felt.
The worst luck, that we had from just a health and timing standpoint. But I think we did the calculations that the three of us were together in studio when you factor in the citywide 50-50 days where one of us was out trying to, sell tickets. And that was mainly Robbie. 4 days in the past 6 weeks.
Holy.
Right.
Really?
Well, not counting this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
unreal.
It feels really, really good to be back and back in the regular form. And to anybody who's been missing the podcast or the live show in its, form that it's meant to be in, we apologize for that. Obviously, it's unforeseen circumstances, but, everything's back now. There is some vacation time coming up next month when I go to Europe. And
this is when you're going to check out a giant hole. Yeah, this sounds awesome.
But Robbie's been converted now because I love holes, big, giant holes. I know it sounds weird, but it's just something really neat when somebody's dug really, really deep. And Robbie was like, that sounds like a dumb thing to do to drag your girlfriend to when you're in Greece. But Robbie, what did you do and what did you learn? You researched the big hole in Greece.
I don't think you mentioned it's 2 kilometers deep.
2 kilometers deep. 2 kilometers
deep. Could you fall down that hole? Like, is it like
a hole? Well, it's a hole. Of course you can fall down it.
No, but like, can you fall straight 2 kilometers or do you fall like on a side and you
bounce?
Yeah.
What are you, downplaying a 2 kilometer deep natural hole? Mystery hole? Well, it's been there since the beginning of time?
I've been to what is the Grand Canyon.
Not a hole. That's a crack.
That's a huge hole.
No, it's not. A hole is round and deep.
Why isn't that a hole?
It's not. It's a valley. Valleys don't count.
It's pretty huge.
Sure. For a canyon. Okay. It's not called the Grand Hole.
Because no one would go.
When you were a kid, how afraid, scale of 1 to 10, were you of bottomless pits?
0.
Really?
Yeah. Wells. I thought a well was pretty scary.
Yeah.
A lot of wells in my my dad's friends.
You're never afraid of a bottomless pit?
I was only afraid of falling in outhouses.
Yeah, and that's not bottomless, unfortunately.
Fear, yeah. Right? Yeah,
that was a true fear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because your little bum could slide right in there.
Oh, you just fall right in.
I just realized, do you remember that cartoon from the 60s, but we watched it as kids? Hercules?
Yes.
Right? And with Newt and Toot and Wilhelmine and Daedalus and all those guys. Right, Hercules, it's Greek, right? And there was an episode, and it'll shock you when you look up how many episodes of Hercules there were.
Was it like lots or not many?
Barely any.
Oh, really?
There were barely any. But I remember like growing up watching it every morning before I went to school. And there's like barely any episodes.
Yeah, wow.
And but there was one that is what instilled the fear of bottomless pits for me.
Do you think it's this hole that they're talking about?
I think that might be the one they're talking about, right?
Or
Hercules, Greece, Greek gods, big hole.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So now I get to see it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it would take you to fall down a 2 kilometer hole.
A couple, maybe a minute.
I mean, that's it for you. You're falling for a minute going, well, that's it.
Well, you don't know if it's it.
Oh, it's it. It's it.
What's at the bottom of the 2 kilometers?
The bottom.
Well, they've had to fly a drone in there or something.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Dylan. That's why I want to go to the hole.
I know, but look it up before you do it. It could be such a waste.
Anyway, speaking of big falls, tomorrow we're going to give away one of our first trips on skydiving, right?
Yeah.
Right.
For the summer skydive. So we've got 5 spaces on a plane with Edmonton Skydive that we're going to give away periodically over time over the course of the summer, and then we're all going skydiving. Right?
That sounds neat.
So we'll send 5 people on their way to go skydiving. First one tomorrow morning.
So we're just giving it away. You wanted to reward the early audience.
Yeah. For the 5:30 to 6:30 audience on the live show, they get screwed out of everything, right?
Yes.
They've never had an opportunity to play Kiss Cash Vault.
Well, yeah, they do.
Well, if they have start at work at 7 o'clock, they've never even heard it.
Well, that's on them. No, don't act like it's not.
If you're up at 5:30 in the morning, we're the show for you because you finally deserve something.
Okay.
Something for the early morning audience. Yes. Right, Robbie?
Yeah.
Yeah, the early morning wakers, they finally get something.
Or maybe the early morning wakers are a bunch of hoarders and they take everything. They do the early and the late. How do we know?
Well, they could.
Yeah. They could be the greediest bunch.
Never thought of that.
Right? We get a lot of people that said they've never heard Kiss Cash Vault.
Oh, wouldn't you say that, though?
That's what they're doing, huh? That's their big mission in life.
Oh, is I to never mess get with anything.
Us. All right.
Right? Okay. Then they get double.
Should we call her now and chat with her?
Yeah.
So she's a school teacher. This girl, I just really want to chat with her. I think she's got an amazing story, like an amazing story. And we're involved in this story, believe it or not.
What?
And it kind of chronicles a long history of a relationship with this radio show and how she has overcome some great odds and really made amazing strides in her life. And we're going to talk to her now. All right. So, is that recording in, Dylan, the dialing there?
I can't tell because you're talking over it.
Okay. Well, I don't know what
to do. Yep.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I read some of the message you sent, that she sent along.
Her name is Isis. Nice. Okay.
What?
Isis.
Oh, nice.
Isis is her name. It's a little tougher to go around with that name these days.
A little bit.
Hello.
Is this Isis?
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent.
I'm good.
Now, you're a school teacher, right?
I sure am.
What grade do you teach?
Oh, all of them.
Really?
So they actually brought me in to teach online for COVID. So over the last couple of years, I've been teaching grades 4 through 12.
Really? So really, almost all of them. Yeah, 4
all
the way to 12.
Okay. Yeah, right now I have a couple of grade 11 courses. So
okay.
It's
all online, so...
Yeah, it's all online.
Okay,
yeah.
But you have a little bit of time right now, right, to chat?
I do. Well, right now it's just exams and open office hours, so kids are kind of popping in and out, and yeah,
okay,
it's pretty chill.
Okay,
yeah.
How old are you, Isis?
I'm going to be 38 next week.
That one stings because she started listening to the show in grade 12.
Oh, wow.
All right, I just want to write, go ahead, Robbie.
That's impossible.
Why?
Because I turned 38 in about a month.
And I am 38.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
How does that work?
Maybe her math is wrong then.
Your math
might
be a little wrong, but thank you for listening as long as you have.
Are we calling? Is this whole thing a ruse? Has Isis been lying to us?
Yeah, right.
Well, because when I would have been in grade 12, she would have been in grade 12.
Right.
Something's not right here.
Okay.
That's okay. People get confused. Might have been Robin Audie.
Are you going to be 48, Isis?
Yeah, right. Don't even go there. No.
I'm.
It was Mix 96 back then. That we listened to.
Are you sure it's us that you meant to message?
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Positive. I mean, maybe I have my dates wrong. I'm the worst with numbers.
It's all good.
Yeah, because you said 15 years ago, which makes sense. Anyway, she messaged on Instagram on the Pepper and Dylan
15 years
account.
Ago,
okay, all right. No, that's not the point.
All right.
We'll get detective on this in a second. But anyway, she messaged on the Pepper and Dylan Instagram. And over our holidays, I was reading it. And when I read it, it landed on me. It had a really profound impact on me because not only was I touched as part of this radio show and that she would reach out all these years later, but it had a profound impact on me from how the universe really kind of came together for you, Isis. And just the idea of taking a shot and doing something that can change your life forever.
Well, what happened?
Well, I'm just going to read your message, Isis, and then we'll talk
about
it, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it's a long-ass message, but it was very...
That's why I want you to read it.
It was very meaningful, okay? So, this is what she wrote. Hey, guys. We've never met, but about 15 years ago, you guys totally changed my life. Like, for real. As the child of refugees, my childhood was humble and interwoven with the violent remnants of the war my parents had escaped.
Yeah.
So... By the time I go to high school, I was very introverted and not sure of my place in school or in the world. I wasn't a fan of the radio because all I wanted to do was listen to music loudly on my headphones and shut everything out. But one day, my friend played the radio for me, and I heard two goofy guys, that's Robbie and Dylan,
Oh, yeah.
Two goofy guys who were just funny and dysfunctional enough to catch my attention. But it wasn't until recently that I listened to your What the Hell Happened podcast series that I realized what appealed to me so much about you guys, that in this perfectly imperfect world, it was okay not to be okay. So I kept listening. I was in grade 12. That's where we're questioning.
We will later.
And had absolutely no idea what I was going to do after high school. I loved writing, but had no idea what that world would offer. Most of my extended family didn't get a chance to go to school at all. While listening to your show, I heard an ad for an essay contest sponsored by Dante's, George LaRock, and the radio station. So I applied. Remember George LaRock, the Oiler, right?
Yeah,
he worked at our radio station
back in the bounce days, yeah.
So I applied, never thinking I'd win. The contest asked to write an essay about the importance of family. I wrote about my parents and their journey through the war in El Salvador. I wrote about how they fought to survive for their children and about our journey to Canada. And, to my great surprise, I won the contest. I won $4,000.
Whoa!
And even got to meet a few of the Oilers. Suddenly, the world burst open in a way I could never have imagined. Fast forward 15 years. That contest allowed me to go to university. I was the only one in my family to have done so.
Nice.
Fueled me to travel the world, 25 countries and counting.
Holy smokes!
And even propelled me to write my first novel, which was published a few months ago. It's called Mangoes and Snowflakes and is now tracking on 3 best-selling lists.
Oh, wow.
And guess what? The novel chronicles my family's survival stories of the war and the stories that I started to write through the contest that I had heard because of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know what, you guys? I'm an English teacher. Mm-hmm. The numbers totally don't add up.
No, they really don't.
No. No, it's a different radio station.
I remember. No. I do. You guys are literally the only ones I ever listen to. And it's true. You know what's interesting? I actually had a moment even listening to you guys this morning about the same thing, and it just totally took me back. When I was a kid, because I existed in both worlds, I didn't really feel like I fit in either of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go home, I'm like, oh, my parents don't know about all this English stuff I'm listening to, or like what they're saying in school. When I was at school, I was like, nobody's saying all the Spanish stuff that my family knows.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I turn on the radio, I was like, I don't know. Like I just knew that I didn't know certain things. And it's funny because even this morning when you guys were talking about the movie, the Beetlejuice and
Harry and the Hendersons.
So when all this happened when I was younger, I was like, there's a whole other world out there. I just want to know everything about it. So I'm like this film junkie and I love pop culture and all this stuff. But there's always, especially as like immigrant children and coming to a different country, there's always going to be little gaps, like always. And I didn't get that back then. I was just like, oh, there's something here I don't know, and I'm just going to be quiet and introverted. And this morning, I was like, what in the heck was that second movie you listed? I've never heard of it in my entire life. What was it?
Harry and the Hendersons or Beetlejuice?
Like ever.
Oh, Harry's like, one of the, it's just such a touching
Dylan's
movie.
Favorite movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little, I was like, wow, it's still happening. But, you know, now that I understand it, I'm like, I'm just more excited to like go and watch this movie. Where when I was a kid, I was just like, I would just shut down. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, Dylan will make you watch that movie. You want to talk about good writing, Isis? A movie about a family who adopts a Bigfoot.
Well, they didn't mean to.
And tries to keep him hidden from society. Now that's the next great bestseller right there.
Act like it's not good.
So I do remember that contest vaguely. I knew it was it was like a sales contest, so we didn't have a lot to do with it. We didn't select the winner, but it was selected. And you turned out winning, taking that $4,000, I'm assuming, to pay for your tuition to become the first person in your family to go to university. Did you go to U of A?
I did,
And you took education, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And you've always had a penchant for writing?
I actually wanted to be, I didn't even want to go into, I love teaching, I absolutely love teaching. But at the time, because I was the first one in my family to go to university, they were like, you have to get like kind of a stable career or something that you can really count on, even though I wanted to just be a writer, but I went with teaching first. But then a couple years later, there are my numbers. A few years later, I went back and got my master's in English Lit.
Okay.
Which was fun.
Good for you. And what made you, so this book that you've written, you say it's on a few bestseller lists and it came out a few months ago. What did you say it was called? Sorry, I put the Mangoes and Snowflakes.
Yeah.
Mangoes and Snowflakes. What I mean, inspired you? I guess the reason I was connected to your story is because I've always wanted to be a writer as well, and that's where that ended.
Yeah.
But sitting down to write a novel is a very overwhelming and intimidating task.
Oh my gosh! Yes, and so much work. So really how it all started was back when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And again, like, don't even count on my numbers. I might have been 9. Mm-hmm. My dad piled us all into this like Scooby-Doo van. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're going to El Salvador. So we drove from Edmonton all the way to El Salvador.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? I'm sorry. My geography might be a little rough. How do you get there?
Insane. And we just drove it. And this is before technology. We didn't have any iPads.
Nope.
Or like nothing. At one point, our game was to count like the sweat spots on my little sister's nose. We're like, I bet you can't guess. Like, like, it took us, I think, about 8 days. And my dad was psychotic. Like, we weren't even stopping at hotels. Like, we would literally drive like 15-hour days, and he pulled over and nap for a couple of hours in a random parking lot, and then we just keep going. And I remember hitting like the border for El Salvador, and I was like, oh my God, because we were just like swarmed with street kids, like begging for anything. Like, I had the little treat bags you can get from the dollar store with like the jawbreakers. I like literally, they took everything. Because I was like, yeah, okay, that's okay. Like, the starvation, the poverty, like the violence that we saw, just holy moly changed my life. So we spent a month there, and then we had to leave early because there were still like lingering bits of the war. So we got caught up in like gunfire at one point, but my mom lied to me and said they were fireworks. And I was like, oh, like in Cadiz? So I wanted to like go outside and see the fireworks. Oh, and no. I was like, she was like, no, you got to lie down like on the floor right now. I'm like, but I want to go see the fireworks.
Wow.
And so we had to come back early, and we came back. My elementary teacher at the time got us to write one of those, like, what did you do over the summer? So I wrote that first story, like, while I met my family, and I realized that they were part of this war. And she liked it so much, she actually published it in a children's magazine back in the day. And then I left it at that. And then years later, I heard about this scholarship, and the scholarship was, what was the importance of family? I was like, well, my parents survived a war, you know, just to save their family. So I wrote about that, and I won the scholarship. And that's when I was like, I have to write this book. But Pepper, you're totally right. I basically started writing it like in high school, and I just finished now.
Right.
And we're talking like hours and hours, a ton of sacrifices. Like, there's so many times I wanted to give up. Very overwhelming. And these are all stories based on like my family members and their friends and what they went through in the war. So, you know, I got to draw from so many voices and so many stories and their reality. Like, I didn't even have to make it up, really. And even then, it was just so much work. Yeah. And the last couple of years, I was like, I have to get this done. Like, this has been my dream forever. So I was teaching, you know, like 8-hour days and marking for a couple hours, and then I'd have some supper, and then I'd literally sit down and write until I passed out, like from just
that's amazing.
Going to sleep. Yeah.
Amazon.ca, I see it's there. $17.36 to get the paperback of Mangoes and Snowflakes. Great looking cover.
Yay, you like it?
Yeah, it's really nice. When did you finish it? You said just recently.
Oh, this would have been just a few months ago.
Yeah, we can't trust. Publication date, September 10th, 2021. We can't trust you and your dates.
A couple months ago.
Right.
Or almost a year.
Blame the profession, guys. When you're a teacher, everything else is just like a blur in your mind.
Well, yeah, you've been working and then writing, working and then writing, working and writing. And it's a thankless, solitary kind of life that you live when you commit yourself to writing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of us. So that's pretty cool. Pretty happy to take the credit.
I love it. Well, it's true. And a few months ago, I adopted a puppy, and I was walking my puppy out.
A few months ago,
park.
6 years ago.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's when I listened to your podcast. So what the hell happened? Because I've been following you guys ever since then. Like, what was it? It was Power 92, and then it's been like what, 2 or 3 different radio stations.
Well, it was. Yeah. See, that's where it's getting a little tangled up, right? It was the Bounce, which was
the Bounce. 91.7. Yeah.
Power 92 was before we were here. Power 92 was like what the Bounce bounce was at, yeah, like, well,
was
the bounce
it was Power 92, right? Then Mix 96 or 96X.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And around. But we started at the bounce, and then we moved around a little bit. And don't worry about it. It's a blur to us, too. Oh, a sad, messy nightmare of a blur.
But I love listening to your podcast because it filled in a lot of gaps, because there were a couple of times where I couldn't find you guys. I was like, where did I go? And then, I got to find out, like, what happened. Yeah, so that really took me back, and I was like, holy cow, if it wasn't for me listening to this radio station, getting this scholarship, to give you an idea, I knew I had to do something after high school, and I had to be something important because I was always good in school. So I'm like, okay, I have to do something for my family. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea what was out there, like, at all, to the point where I remember the U of A coming to my high school to do like a career day or whatever. And I was sitting in a room with a ton, like maybe 200 kids in there. And the speaker said right off the bat, he's like, okay, guys, who's going to apply to the Faculty of Art? Let's be real. And in my head, I was like, who would take art? Like, because I thought it was like drawing and sketching and stuff. Like, I thought it was actual art. I had no idea anything about post-secondary, nothing like that. And I was like, who would do that? And of course, every single person in the room raised their hand except for me, because I didn't know what I was talking about. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? So when I did manage to get the scholarship, they would only transfer it directly to a post-secondary institution. Like, it wasn't going into my account or anything like that. So I was like, I got to go to university. And when I went, I still remember, like, even the first few weeks, like, it just blew my mind that there was this world out there that if I worked really, really hard, I could become a writer. I can go to these places I was reading about and see the world and affect change. And like that all, totally all happened because of you guys.
I need you to talk to my son at some point, Isis, because he doesn't care that there's a whole world out there. He had an opportunity, like, we're going to Europe this summer, and he had an opportunity to go for almost 4 full weeks, and he said he only wanted to go for half the trip.
So, why?
Yeah, his mother and he and my daughter are going for 2 weeks, and then his mother and he are flying back, and I'm just going to France with my daughter. He is going to regret it. So much.
Oh, yes. My God.
You know,
so
17
much.
Years old and an opportunity to see all of Europe, but he wants to hang out with his friends.
It's just the worst idea.
And work at the brew house. Yeah, that's what he wants to do in the summer instead of go to, like, Spain and Greece. And
I can't blame him. I can't blame him.
You can't blame him on that?
You can't? What?
He's going to have two homes that are empty, and Pepper's ex-wife lives behind him. He can have, like, a neighborhood party. Worth two houses.
That's not better.
For a teenager with his friends, that's pretty cool.
I don't want to hear that, Robbie. Right it's happening. Now. That's his entire plan.
I bet.
He can do that after. He can go to Europe and then do that. Like, oh my God.
By the way, driving from Edmonton to El Salvador, 6,232 kilometers.
Oh, that's going to take a while.
It says a 68
hours.
Yeah, you got that too? Yeah. 68 consecutive hours of driving to get to El Salvador. So that must have been a fond memory or a torturous memory of driving.
You know what? I mean, obviously parts of it were torturous, especially because my dad is so frugal. Mm-hmm. Like, we were, like, bathing in like, gas station bathrooms, for heaven's sakes. Like, he was just like, we're not stopping. We won't stop till we get there. But, and I think my siblings hated it. Like, they never went back, ever. But I think for me, it totally sparked, like, my nomad personality. I loved it. I loved it. And even, like, growing up, like, that's why I travel all the time. And when I travel, people are always like, how do you manage to travel so much? I'm like, because I do it like my dad did. I'll take, like, overnight buses and overnight trains, and I'll stay in hostels. Like, I'll just rough it out as long as it means that I get to go to all these amazing places. And, like, even at one point, I actually drove across the country twice. I went from here. I zigzagged my way all the way out to Cape Spear. And there's, like, an actual plaque out there that says this is the furthest east point in Canada. And then I got into my car, I turned around and went all the way to the Vancouver coast. I love it. I love it.
Favorite place you've ever been was?
Oh, no.
I know, I asked it.
It's a good question.
No. Like, I am a sucker for, like, Jane Austen literature and Paris. Like, I love Paris. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it is my favorite. But right before COVID, the one that surprised me, I went for the summer to Peru. Oh, that one blew my mind. I didn't want to go. My friend wanted to go. And I was like, well, I love exploring anyway. So we went down there. Changed my life. Like, it was amazing. If you ever get a chance to go, like,
sounds like everything changes your life.
I know.
Including her timeline.
Right.
By the way, if you ever wanted to walk to El Salvador,
sure.
It would take almost 51 straight days of walking, 1,222.
That's not as bad as I thought.
To walk to El Salvador.
Holy smokes. I don't know how he, like, he, so my parents did it, what, I can't do the numbers, guys. Like, I would have been, like, what, 7 or 8? So they would have been, like, under 30 or around 30.
So how war-torn, you're saying they're refugees. What was the war, pardon my lack of knowledge of the history of El Salvador, but what did your parents escape from, and you were how old when this happened?
So I really didn't get... Well, I didn't get any of that when they escaped. So they escaped El Salvador, and they kind of popped me out in Mexico.
Okay.
So I was actually born in Mexico, and I grew up in Canada.
Okay.
But they escaped. There was a 12-year civil war in El Salvador that they got caught up in. And it was interesting because they were both really young. They were 18, 19 years old. And they just got the first bit of it when it was getting really, really bad. But my mom at the time, she still hates politics. She didn't want to get involved with it at all. And what she ended up doing was volunteering for something called the Green Cross. So at the time, it only existed in El Salvador, and they helped the victims and things like that. So her stories were just mind-blowing. Like, she talked about having to go down to the river to get water to help some of the victims, and you would, because the torture got so bad that they would dump bodies there and you know, things like that. So she would scoop it out, scoop up the water with a bucket and pull up fingers. My dad, so my parents make me laugh because my mom always says they're the perfect 10. My dad is tall and skinny, and my mom is short and fat. So she says that they're the perfect 10. She's very sociable, very outgoing.
Your parents are a perfect 10. I get it.
Right.
I like it, right?
My dad is...
You just got it, hey, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Right? Tall and skinny like a 1, short and fat like a 0. Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then my dad is very tall, skinny, and very severe. Like, rarely laughs. He's very quiet. He's very serious. But I always tell my students, I'm like, you guys got to be careful with the quiet ones, because he ended up getting involved with the revolutionaries at the time.
Wow.
Very Karl Marx, very human rights kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very, looks like an interesting part of history.
And very, it's cool. Not one you hear about. El Salvador is the smallest country in Central America, but it's also one of the most violent. Yeah. Right now, for one, finally, there's a president that seems to be finally cleaning things up. But right up until early 2000s, it was very, very, very violent.
Yeah.
And my dad decided to pull away from the revolutionary groups when he fell in love with my mom. Because my mom found out she was pregnant with my older brother. And when he pulled away, they also pulled away the protection they had on him. So he was actually captured by the military at the time.
Oh, God.
And he was tortured. Yeah, he disappeared for about a week. And, well, I probably shouldn't give away the whole story.
Because it's in the book, of course.
Right. Exactly.
That's how they get you, Dylan.
Yeah. Amazon.ca.
Yeah. There.
That's really cool.
Wow, what an incredible story. Like I said, I wanted to be a writer. I do have this question about writing, because, Dylan, one day I'm going to
this
do it.
Two-person
one
play.
One day I'm going to do it. Well, the play's coming, but it's different. But anyway, do you have to like reading books to be a writer?
Absolutely not.
You don't think?
Absolutely.
I get
not.
So bored reading books.
Well, it's so weird.
I don't know why.
You want people only to read what you want.
I love writing, but I hate reading. Isn't that weird?
It is.
Well, what do you hate about reading? Well, that's weird. I love reading. I love anything that has to do with
my
literature.
Mind wanders too much when I'm reading.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like 7 pages past where I started, and I'm like, what just happened? I was thinking about something else.
Book on tape
back.
Will help you.
A book on tape might be a good idea. Can I get an Audible of your book?
No, not yet. So it's not ready in Audible yet, but I've had a few requests. I've also had requests to translate into Spanish.
Of course, yes. I was going to ask if there's a Spanish version, because I'm sure there's a large Spanish community that would, a Latin American and Central American community that
would
love to
read. You could get the Spanish version
this.
And not read that one.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
There you go.
I'll read the book on tape. That's what I'll do. I'll voice it, right? I can narrate the book on tape. Why not? Well, that's a very interesting story. And again, it was just, when you messaged us, it just stood out to me so much, because it just kind of goes to show that if you hear something in passing, like, just take a chance. Just like, for sure. Take a chance. Like it was a commercial that you heard on a radio station that you were giving a try because you were so, you know, just you wanted to just hide away from the rest of the world because you'd been going through so much culture shock. You heard a commercial, you thought, why not? And now you're a published best-selling author.
Yeah.
And that is, that's just proof right there that anything can happen. If I mean, it sounds hokey almost, but you take a chance and you work your ass off, great things can happen. And again,
absolutely,
you have to tell my son that because I've tried.
He just won't listen, right?
And that's true. Like, just take your shot. Like, I think especially nowadays, I see this so much in my students. They get so caught up in all the other factors. Like, what if I fail? Or what? Blah, blah, blah. Just take the shot. Like, I remember, like, exactly what you said. I just heard this commercial. I'm like, I didn't even think if I could. Well, I was just like, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Like, why the and hell not?
And when I wrote, I actually had the flu. I was so sick that day. And I wrote it up. And I was like, Dad, can you just go drop it off? And he's like, do you even want to bother? Like, are you sure it's going to be any good? Because I was so sick. And I was like, you know what? Let's just try. And if I hadn't done that, like, I don't think I could have actually afforded to go to university, and maybe I would have gotten stuck where, like, my life could have been completely, completely different.
Well, look at the chain reaction of your entire life.
Yeah.
Right? How many spots along the way could, I mean, your life not even have happened. Your dad gets captured. Mm-hmm. You know, your mom is pregnant with your older brother. You weren't even in the womb yet.
Yeah.
Like, so many things had to happen for you to get to this point, and you rode that wave. And it's like the links in the chain. They're all linked together, whether it's good or bad. And you cut the bad stuff out, and you keep the good stuff, and you have a wonderful success story. So, Isis, I mean, it's great. How about, like, I want to write, but I know I won't because I'm a procrastinator. What if Isis, you wrote something and I took the credit?
No.
I could give you the idea.
Plagiarism, isn't it?
I'm curious. Like, what do you write? And you know what? One thing that did help me, like, keep my momentum going, because there, like you said, it's such a daunting task. So you're like, do I even start? Do I keep going?
Yeah.
It wasn't until I actually got my editor, who I love and hate. I love and hate him. It wasn't until he kind of pushed me along that I really started to see that progress. So, like, even if you don't have an editor right away, like, find somebody that would, like, push you and, like, hold you accountable.
Oh, I don't want somebody telling me my creative artwork is terrible.
That's why
that's the last thing I would want, right? Is somebody going, yeah, maybe you should change this or cutting things out. I used to write for the Innisfail newspaper, Dylan.
I was in
the media. And I was the sports columnist for the Innisfail Province newspaper.
Wow.
And I would write articles about, you know, the local golf club having a sale. And, you know, not the most interesting stuff happening in Innisfail. And my editor would cut the crap out of it. And I got so mad, I just quit.
Mm-hmm. That's your attitude.
That was my attitude. I was so mad. Like, I was like, oh, the best part. You moved all the words around.
I saw this quote yesterday. I thought and this could maybe help out some people. But I thought this was interesting. And it's from Stephen Fry. Oscar Wilde said that if you know what you want to be, then you inevitably become it. That is your punishment. But if you never know, then you can be anything. There is a truth to that. We are not nouns. We are verbs. I'm not a thing. I'm not an actor or a writer. I'm a person who does things. I write, I act. I never know what I'm going to do next. And I think you can be imprisoned if you think of yourself as a noun.
That's a good way to live. It's always interested me, Isis, with Dylan especially. Dylan has this, I love it and I hate it too, much like your editor. He has this uncanny ability to throw himself into a new craft or hobby or interest and master it and then move on. I don't know if, Dylan, you get bored of it once you've completed your goal.
I think there's so much I want to do.
Or you just like all of these challenges. Like, and it's truly a list of incredible things. Like, and I say master in all flattery, but also all seriousness. Like, you have mastered photography as far as I'm concerned. Some of the photographs that you can take and that you have taken with your professional grade camera, et cetera, have been incredible. And many of those photos hang in my house. You landscaping, interior design, cooking seems to be one that has really stuck with you because probably it feeds you and it's the widest one. But he's got this ability, and you once said to me, because I said, Dylan, photographers can make an incredible living for themselves. You should really throw yourself into that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, and I've always kind of took this, and this is a long roundabout way of getting to Isis for you. My question for you is, but Dylan, you said, once it becomes work,
yeah,
I won't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you, being a creative writer, now that it is kind of work, because I don't know if you have a book deal or you're planning something else, but having to do it versus wanting to do it can be the thing that breaks the entire
passion. That's true. And there were times where I was so tired, or my editor would send me back for like the fifth rewrite, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, it was work, but ultimately I loved writing it more than suffering through the work part. And for me, it was different also because I really wanted to give these victims a voice. Like, a lot of people don't know about this war. A lot of people don't know about the victims and what they went through, and especially the children. There's this one child, I'll try not to spoil it either, that kind of ties my whole novel together. And I'm like, no one gets to hear that. So for me, it was that bigger, that extra layer of importance, the fact that I wasn't doing it for myself, I was doing it for them. And I was like, ah, oh, no matter how tired I am, or how hard this actually is, or how much my editor is driving me bonkers, like, I have to give them their voice, and people have to hear these stories. So that kind of pushed me forward.
Well, it's an incredible achievement. And I imagine the day that the first shipment of your book came to your house and you opened the box,
that'd be cool.
There's the cover, and there are your words in print, and there it's up on Amazon and it's for sale. That must have been, I don't know if you have kids or any, but that's got to be the highlight of your life, right?
Oh yeah. Well, it's funny you said the kids thing. So before I even got like my first copy, the publishers actually sent me the barcode, and I hadn't stopped to think about the fact that no other book would have my barcode. Like, only my book has my barcode, right? Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, it's like my baby's footprint. Like, it's their baby's first footprint. And that hit me more than anything. Like, just, it's weird seeing just like this barcode, like these lines and numbers. But I'm like, that's my baby's footprint. Like, well, yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up, Isis, because I don't know if you guys know this about barcodes.
Love of God.
It's actually the white lines that are scanned by the scanner, not the black lines. Wow. I find that very interesting.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Well, Isis, that's an inspiration. I might sit down and write a page in the next
there
month
you go.
Of something.
Oh, well,
okay,
you know what?
So, yeah.
If Dylan is so good at like mastering stuff, maybe he should be your project manager. I had an editor, but I also had a project manager that said you had to write this much at this point, and she always checked in and pushed me along.
It's been 16 years of project managing.
But the have to versus the wanna is the thing that's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to embrace both. You're gonna have to do it sometimes, and you're going to want to do it most of the time.
All right. Well, I appreciate your messaging us, and it's interesting because we didn't know you were out there, and you taking the time to send us that message and tell us your story is really fascinating. So thank you, Isis, and best of luck. Are you seeing money from this book? Like, are you going to find a new method of travel, perhaps? Are you going to have a nice little nest egg that you can build because of this?
That's the whole, but so far, because I'm still teaching full-time,
yeah.
And it's such a difficult teaching year. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This is all going like wasteful. Like, it's things I do in the evenings and weekends when I don't have marking to do. So, it's slow but steady. So we'll see where it goes. It's supposed to be in bookstores soon. Now it's available like globally on Amazon, which is really exciting. But because I'm doing a lot of it on my publishers are out in Vancouver, I'm doing a lot of like the groundwork here in Edmonton. So slow but steady, but that's the goal. Like, if I could teach, you know, maybe part time and write part time, and I've already had requests for the next novel, and I already have a concept.
Now the pressure's on. Now
I know. Yeah.
So you're not making J.K. Rowling bank yet, but eventually,
soon enough.
All right. Well, thank you, Isis, for your story. We really
thank
appreciate
you guys.
It.
Now,
get
back to work.
Stopping by.
Okay. See you later, Isis.
Thanks. Okay. You.
See ya.
Love you. All right. And there she goes.
Very cool.
I just realized as I was hanging up. Mangoes and snowflakes. Mangoes in El Salvador. Yeah. Snowflakes in Edmonton. Why did it take me?
Really? Come on.
It's the only way I put it together. Well, Robbie didn't get the 10
I know
reference.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't get the mango thing either until now.
There you go.
Neat.
See?
Yeah, I got it.
You got it.
I don't know what to tell you. I was just, I guess I looked at the cover, so maybe that's easier.
It's, you know, like she went in depth into a lot of things, but really like the Coles Notes version, which no writer wants to refer to, but the Coles Notes version of that is you hear an opportunity, don't think you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of live your life by that.
Try to, yeah. As best I can.
And I live the exact opposite where I'm terrified.
What is the book you want to write? Do you know what it is?
Well, that's part of the problem is I keep jumping around on all sorts of different ideas.
Oh, so you don't have like one set story you want to tell?
Well, I have several that I want to tell and I just don't know how to get down, buckle down and do it because I have to do it all with paper and pencil. And as I do it with paper and pencil, I look and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to all transcribe this.
Well,
at
now
some
you can
point.
Just take a picture with the phones,
right? Well, that scanning thing is really neat, by the way, right? It doesn't work perfectly, but it's pretty darn cool,
it
that new feature on the thing. Yeah,
it will definitely help you.
But I don't know, maybe one day. The play is now taken over. The play's the thing, as Shakespeare once said. So.
Right, so
Oh, you still have a play going on?
Yeah.
The two-man play.
My two-person.
I thought you were joking.
No, why would I be joking?
Oh no, that's been serious. Okay. The two person play.
Okay,
I thought it was two man. It's not.
No, it's a two person play.
It can be anything.
Yeah, it's more for one man and one one woman.
This is for you and your girlfriend.
Yeah,
you've been writing it for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. But it's different. I don't know if it'll ever see the light of day. I really hope it does.
Well, why wouldn't it?
It's more a collection of monologues than remember the vagina monologues.
I never read it. But
well,
I know
it was
about
a play.
It.
It was a performance, right?
Is that what it was?
Famous women would perform.
I think the only reason I know it is because of Friends.
I've heard of it.
Okay,
I've
heard of it, right?
Yeah,
okay,
I've heard it referenced.
It would be kind of like that. It would be a solo one person, two person stage performance off of the play that I write.
Okay,
if I ever do it.
How much have you written?
What does that matter?
It kind of is a big deal.
30 pages?
Okay, well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's realistic.
Well, it's more like it's about probably 12 monologues that I've written.
Okay.
Right? I can't write a long novel. Like, that just seems overwhelming to tell a story over 200, 300, 400 pages.
Yeah.
Right? I'd prefer to tell stories, you know, one paragraph at a time.
Get them quickly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I noticed that you're doing a lot of poetry, Dylan.
Yeah, I still do that. And I have a ton of it, like just a ton of it.
Yeah, you're posting a lot on Instagram.
Yeah, I post it here and there. I post it for myself because I'm embarrassed by it. And so that's why I post it. Because
to get feedback and realize that it's not so bad?
No, just because it's something that makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
And so, you know, I always am trying to push myself into uncomfortable places.
Yeah.
Writing is poetry is something I've done for years. Yeah. And like I went back the other day because someone was asking me, and it's like since 2008, I have just poems and tons of them. And some of them are good and some of them aren't good at all.
Yeah.
And so I just started posting them because I thought, well, that really makes me uncomfortable. I want to feel that uncomfortability of being vulnerable.
It's called uncomfortable for a reason.
Yeah, I guess.
It means you shouldn't do it.
No, I think you should.
That's what I subscribe to. I'm uncomfortable doing this. No. I'm not doing it anymore.
Because if you go way back in my life, like that's how I, in radio, I used to be horrible at production and I would send it to the best in the business and get them to help me tear it apart.
Right.
And that was
make you better.
Right. I've always done that.
Yeah.
And so that helped me way back in the day. Like I would just send it, okay, best in the business, see what they have to say. And then they would tear it apart.
Yeah.
And then like, I'd be like, okay, great. Like I value that feedback and then you know, hopefully get better. So I put it up there, see what people say, see for some of it, people, it really hits with, and then some of it, I just feel silly doing it.
I'd be surprised if many who went, yay, the podcast is back, thought they'd be listening to poetry and creative writing for 40 minutes. But really quickly, with poetry, it's something I've never understood because there are rules, but there aren't rules. So when I read what you post, I'm not an avid reader of poetry. So I read what you post, I wonder, like, what makes it poetry?
I don't think...
Is like, there a structure to poetry?
There are.
Or is it just a gathering of words and it can be anything?
Can
what
be
is a poem?
Anything that you want.
Well, like, I know what a haiku is.
Would that be a kind of poem?
I know what a limerick is, but...
Those have structure.
Word. Yes, but they don't have to rhyme. They don't have to do all of these things. So what constitutes a poem?
Is it
just beautiful thoughts?
I actually don't know the answer to that.
I don't think there is.
I have a lot of poetry books.
Yeah.
And I don't notice any theme.
No.
Like they're short. Some of them are like two sentences. Some of them are, quite three long, pages. Though, right? Yeah, four pages.
Yeah.
Like it can be anything, I think. I think it's just a collection of thoughts is a good idea. Yeah.
So I love it. That's all a poem is.
Yeah, you'd be great at writing poetry.
Well, maybe I do write then.
But maybe. Absolutely. You call them monologues.
Okay.
Poetry from someone standing up and telling it.
I wrote my girlfriend a card the other day.
It was guaranteed poetry.
To thank her. And yeah, and it was I guess it was a metaphor, but it was, she cried.
Right? What were you thinking?
The goal of any good card. For you. As soon as they start to tear up, you're like, did it! Nailed it!
What were you thanking her for?
For being so supportive.
Oh, that's nice.
And loving me. It was called The Old Bridge in Town.
Oh, it was a metaphor,
yeah.
Eh?
And then nice. I really debated whether I should call it just the bridge in town.
Right.
Yeah. And once you say the old bridge, it's like, what am I, a crickety old? And I'm like, oh, shit.
So you did say old, though?
The old bridge in town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not the Walterdale.
Right, yeah.
Sorry to say.
I'm the high, what's that?
Oh, you're the high level.
I don't know if you're high level.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Might be the James McDonald.
Anyway, if you want to check out Isis's book, it's called Snowflakes and Mangoes and Snowflakes, and you can see it on Amazon. It might be a very interesting story. I'm not
You honestly to... can't read, though? Like, Robbie, do you read?
Well, I can read.
No, I know, but you guys aren't readers.
I can't sit down and read a book. No, it's something, actually, it's a skill that people, I don't know if it's a skill, it's a hobby people have that I envy. But I've probably read, and this is no word of a lie, I've probably read four books in my life.
Oh, I would have thought you were way more well-read.
Yeah. And two of them were probably about sports.
Okay.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of stuff.
Do you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a question. Is listening to a book reading a book?
Yes.
Technically.
So you say, I read a book even though you listened to it?
Yeah, of course.
You're still inheriting the message.
And it's being read to you.
But you're not reading it.
Well, it's being read to you.
Okay. So if you say, oh, I read that book, or would you say, oh, I listened to that book?
I think they're interchangeable. It doesn't matter.
So you'd say, even though you listen to a book while you're going for a road trip,
yeah.
You'd say you read it?
Yes.
That's maybe what I got to do. Because I think if you say you read a book, it sounds like you're a little more learned.
Yeah, you're an academic.
Yeah.
It's the same information.
Listening to a book is just lazy. Reading a book really takes effort. So I read a book when really I just listened to it, that might be my way.
I probably listen to a book a week.
Yeah.
With because we got a 30-minute commute each way.
Yeah.
So are you going to waste time listening to AM radio?
Yeah, it's informative.
We drove in this morning. Robbie loves listening to AM
That's
radio.
That's wild to me.
I love radio.
And he also does this when he drives. Have you ever driven with Robbie?
Oh, yeah.
He puts both his hands on his wheel, and he almost touches the wheel with his chest. Like, he leans forward.
I like to be close to the wheel.
Yeah,
That's so dangerous.
Move your seat up, Robbie.
It's only dangerous if you get in a crash and die.
But you don't use the back of your seat. Like, you could drive on a stool.
I like to feel alert forward. And in the action.
Okay.
I don't like to lean back.
Yeah, the airbag will make you, though.
I do a lot of driving, guys. Mm-hmm. A lot.
That doesn't mean you know how or you're good at it.
No, but that's what works for me.
Okay.
Like, I've driven in LA, I've driven to Vancouver multiple times in the mountains, I've driven for my job.
I just looked over at you and I thought, God, you must be uncomfortable. No. Like, when you drive all the way down to the mountains, are you leaning forward the entire
time? Just like that.
Did you drive that the whole way?
I feel like my body is just in a good spot where it doesn't seize up.
Oh, man. If I'm going for a long road trip, I have my foot up on the dash.
No.
What? Like, yeah, my left foot.
Like, I'll drive while driving?
I'll put it up here. Yeah.
Okay, you're more dangerous than Robbie.
I like to kick back and relax.
No,
I like to just be like in a position where if something does happen, I'm best able to deal with it. Slam on the brakes, turn the wheel.
Okay.
Got my other foot down there.
No.
You're way more dangerous than Robbie. Robbie's dangerous because if he gets in an accident, that airbag's going to hit him first.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen to you.
Right.
He's going to split you in half.
Yeah. But like the way I drive, yes. If the airbag deployed, it would hurt me more for sure.
Yeah. It would knock you out probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Pepper gets torn in two.
The goal is not to let the airbag deploy.
Yeah, don't get in an accident. Well, guys, that's kind of the rule I subscribe to.
Be defensive.
The whole idea of an accident is it wasn't planned.
Right.
Right. It just happens.
Hence the name.
Right.
We'll wrap up here in a few minutes because we've got our first, well, look at this, our first in-person work gathering in 2 years happening. It's a brunch at Bob and Ernie's. Barb and Ernie's that we're going to.
Yes.
And the entire staff at Kiss 91.7 is going to be there. And Dylan's plan is to, because he believes it's on the company card, he's going to order everything.
No, yes, I'm not going to order everything.
You're going to break Rogers.
Lead the way, buddy.
No, what I'm going to do, listen.
So if your cell phone bills go up, everybody, it's because Dylan had extra pancakes today.
That's not what happens. When I am at the age where if someone's inviting me out for a dinner or anything, I'm no longer, I remember being young. And I remember, like, someone's parents would take you out and you'd get the cheapest thing on the menu because you would respect the other parent. Like, I remember doing that.
Yep.
I've now hit the age where, like, I don't care if you're paying or I'm paying, but this is what I'm eating.
Okay.
Right? So if you offer to pick up the bill, I'm not changing my eating habits because you're offering to. That goes for anyone. If I go out on a date and the girl offers to pay for the bill, I'm not going to be light on it.
You're going to get the steak?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If I'm craving the steak that day, I'm not going to. I also, but here in my defense, is I don't go looking for the most expensive thing on the menu.
You get the thing you want regardless of what
whatever
it
is.
Okay.
And like if I'm in a steak and lobster mood, I'm getting steak and lobster.
But you were boasting to Leanne, our boss, that you are going to break her today.
Yeah. The reason I did that is because Robbie behind the scenes is worried because he would never have do that and he's kind of hungry.
Okay.
But I also want you to lead the way. So that everybody does what
you're a martyr for the cause, Dylan.
And I'll gladly do it. Okay. So I just gave her a little warning today. I said, hey, listen, I'm going to order what the hell I want.
So now you've given Robbie permission by doing that.
You have.
She gave all of us permission.
She did. She said, go to town.
You guys, this is for you. I'm taking you out. This is for
but
you.
But will you do what you normally do and order like next day's dinner?
No, I'm not doing that. I have never done next day's dinner. But I have done next day's lunch.
I went to lunch on Friday with my girlfriend's mother. It was just the two of us that went to lunch. Yeah.
You went out with just her mom?
Yeah.
And, is that normal?
There were some things we needed to talk about.
Oh,
Dylan.
Sorry.
But I ordered a more expensive dish than she did.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt I had to pay because my dish was more expensive.
Mm. There was no, you took her out.
Well, she invited me.
Oh.
To go for lunch because she wanted to talk to me and I had some stuff that I wanted to talk about too.
Right.
But then I was like,
right.
Because I ordered first.
Right.
And I intentionally stayed away from the expensive stuff. I assumed that she was going to pay, but she's incredibly wealthy. Anyway. And then when she ordered something that was less expensive less expensive than what I ordered, I thought, got to call an audible. I had to pay.
That's nice of you.
And you did? She let me.
Oh, she did.
Which is
fair. That was part of the reason I reached for my wallet. I didn't think she'd let me.
Well, there you go.
You know, I got called on my on it, right? That's a good old trick to do that, right? Reach for the wallet. Reaching for the wallet is basically paying. If somebody says, no, I got it. You do this. Are you sure? Yeah. And, okay. And then it's like you paid for it. That's my move.
Like the last person I went out on dates with on our third date, that's what she ended up saying. Was because on the third date, she's like, oh, let me get this one. You got the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, that's fine. She's like, okay, at least I asked.
Yeah.
That's all she's like.
The ask is almost as much credit as the pay. Yeah.
Yeah, it is appreciated.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, good. Then you just have to throw it out there,
I guess.
All
I do. Yeah.
I got a couple of things I owe you for.
For what?
Like the spa.
It's fine.
We did the spa.
There you go. See, but now, you were going to pay him. He said, it's fine. You're off the hook. Mm-hmm. And you feel good because you actually offered.
I did. I do feel better. But I knew you'd just pay.
I
did. And that's why when we went to the buffet the other day, we were fighting about it the whole time. We had to do rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, and I lost.
Really?
Yeah. I had to pay.
There you go.
Robbie messaged me. He's like, hey, what are you doing? Like, we live together now, and it's funny because you've always pointed out that Robbie is like, hey, what's going on with that sandwich in the fridge? Yeah. Oh, I'm just curious.
No, they're just
like, do you want it, Robbie? Do you think I can have it?
Right, that's Robbie.
I just want to make sure.
He messaged me the other day. I was at my girlfriend's house, and I was hanging out. I was doing some stuff, and she wasn't there. She was at work. And
is this when you tried to message me for it as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so you got a message too?
Yeah,
he's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, oh, I feel like buffet. I'm like, do you want to go for buffet, Robbie? Oh, yeah. Do you want to? Good idea. I was like, all right, I'll meet you there. And we went to buffet.
I love a buffet.
You do.
Oh, it's the best.
Right? And now that COVID's over, we can sneeze all over our buffets again.
Yeah, I guess, right?
It's all done. No more mandates, huh?
Nope.
So we'll find out how much you actually do eat today at the free-for-all at Barb and Ernie.
I'm telling you, I can tell you right now, it's going to be pancakes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be sausage. Okay. It's going to be bacon.
Yes. Okay.
It's going to be extra sausage.
Yeah.
It will be at least 3 eggs.
Okay.
Oh.
And then hash browns.
Yeah. Oh.
And then I need some of that. They make this really good ketchup and a really good mustard there.
Okay.
Oh, the mustard.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to. That's all I want. Like, this is like ridiculous.
I'll follow in your footsteps, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you for trailblazing.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
What a pioneer.
You got it.
All right. Well, thanks to Isis. Again, her book is called Mangoes and Snowflakes. And that was written because she listened to this radio show one
day. I don't know if she did, though.
It sounded a bit off.
Because she said Power 92,
That contest, and I do remember. I do.
Come on.
Of course, Dylan.
No, because George LaRocque worked over there as well.
He did. Both stations.
Yeah, him and James were like good buddies.
Yeah, our boss.
They would have been 100% with Dante's. I think that she's more correct on her timeline, and it's got nothing to do with us.
It just seems like we've been around forever, because it has been 16 years.
Sure.
Right?
But I think it was prior to.
It could have been.
And it probably was Robinotti. And then
it was BJ
she fell
and Shannon.
Into us.
It was Pepper and
bleep that. We're taking credit for it. She's a best-selling author. We'll take it. Okay?
I get it. I'm just saying I don't think it was us.
We'll do another podcast again on Friday, so we're back to the regular schedule of podcasts. So Friday we'll run down the rights and wrongs from week. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for listening to the After Show Show.
It's Pepper and Dylan.
Kiss. Bye.